2, verse number 5 is our key phrase. We've been working on a theme here. One more time. There we go. Divine order. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 5 has been our key phrase. The Apostle Paul says, though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Hallelujah. We have been speaking at length here, and I'll be doing this for a couple more weeks, on the subject of divine order, the fact that God is a God of order. He is orderly and is ordering our lives. He's putting our lives in order, referring quickly to the book of Genesis. It says that when God looked upon the earth, it was void and without form. Now, I don't know about you. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, you got to love computers. You think it's the mouse. Shoot that mouse. We got mouse traps in the back. Oh, wrong kind of mouse. Hallelujah. When God looks upon our lives, many times, most times, maybe every time, what he sees is we're out of order. The reason we get in so much trouble, the reason we have so much problems, the reason things are so messed up is our lives are out of divine order. There is a way, according to Scripture, that you should walk. There is a way that we should live our lives. Now, people today look around and say, well, that Christianity, that's for a bunch of non-thinking people. No. But there's a good possibility that your thinking got you to where you are. Amen? There's this folks, I got a thing here I want to read to you. I got it from a Bible study or a devotion I do. And it talks about dying to self. Something we don't talk about a lot here today. Book of Colossians deals with that. And people say, isn't it a terribly passive attitude towards life? You know, we kind of think that we're supposed to just have control of everything. Well, how's that all working for you? Amen. Yeah, we got control of it, and it's all messed up. There's only one person to blame, you see. Hallelujah. One good thing about having someone else in control of your life, you can blame them. Or in this case, we can praise them, because if God's in charge of our life, he's doing a much better job than we could. Amen. Doesn't it tend to diminish personal responsibility and self-control? Pretty much. There was an educator, famous American educator by the name of John Dewey. He had that view. And he said, once when lecturing to his students, he drew a line down the blackboard. And on one side, he listed those systems of thought which teach control. And on the other side, the systems which teach passiveness. Acquiescence. I knew that. Just testing you. He passed. Acquiescence. On the control side, he put science. On the acquiescence side, he put religion. Well, to be fair, he should have written some forms of religion. The religion of Jesus Christ does not produce passive, and that word again, disciples. I'm struggling with that word for some reason. Acquiescence. I got it right. Disciples, but surrendered disciples. Surrendered to God, but surrendered to nothing else. They rise from the dust of self-surrender to lay hold on the raw materials of life, good, bad, and indifferent, and then use them. Oh, I like that. I got to read that again. They rise from the dust of self-surrender. That's Christianity. That's giving over my life. Are we bouncing up there? Yes, we are. Ooh. I'm going back to my days, you know, a little staying alive, little disco thing going on there. Yeah. What do you think, Brother Dave? Get some platform shoes and hallelujah. But Crushville. I don't have the body to wear those tight stuff anymore. There's too much of me to wear that stuff. Anyway, they rise from the dust of self-surrender, that's Christianity, to lay hold of the raw materials of life, the good, the bad, the indifferent, and then use it. Would you describe the early Christians as passive and acquiescent? I should have studied this a little more. I will do it this way. No. I wouldn't. Surrendered? Yes. Acquiescent? No. Surrendering to God so that he may work in and through us may at first seem passive, but actually it represents the most amazingly positive and active method of dealing with life. Other ways are possible, but no other way is as powerful. Hallelujah. You may have heard of a story, metaphor, of a frog being placed in a pot of water. And the fire turned underneath the frog, and as soon as the water got hot, the frog removed himself from his situation. It's called self-preservation. When we get ourselves in a situation and they come on us suddenly, we're wise enough to remove ourselves most of the time. Hallelujah. But the same story goes on to say that if you put the same frog in the same pot of water, but you turn the water 1 degree at a time, that the frog will stay there and not recognize that little bit of a change until it's too late and it succumbs to the heat of the water. Now, for all of our friends at PETA and other places, I want you to know that no frogs were harmed or hurt during the making of this sermon. We may not get a chance to read this together. After all, we're having all kinds of computer problems here. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 1, reads on. And I'll read it to you. If this ever catch up here, well, you can read it with me. Paul says, I want you to realize that I continue to work as hard as I know how for you, and also for the Christians over at Laodicea. Not many of you have met me face to face, but that doesn't make any difference. I'm reading from the Message, by the way. Know that I'm on your side, right alongside you. I will not repeat 2 weeks ago, but you're not alone. You're not in this thing alone, okay? You're not in this alone. I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you will have the minds, conflict, and a rest focused on Christ, God's great mystery. I want to go down to verse 5. I'm a long way off, true, and you may never lay eyes on me, but believe me, I'm on your side, right beside you. I am delighted to hear of, now listen to this very carefully, that's why I chose this particular translation, to hear of the careful and orderly ways you conduct your affairs, and I'm impressed with the solid substance of your faith in Christ. Hallelujah. I don't meet a lot of people who impress me. I think Paul met fewer people who impressed him. But the thing that didn't impress him is when people not only called themselves Christians, but lived like it. Amen? If you've been around me at all, you'll find out that my philosophy, if you will, my theme for ministry is a thing called applied Christianity. I'm really not only impressed how much scripture you know. I really don't care how much you can quote. If you can do that, that's a wonderful thing. I want to know if you can live it. So I don't know about y'all, but I know there are areas of my life, there are areas of scripture I'm not living too good. But then that's why I think that song got to me this weekend. Brother Dave, make me into the man you want to see. That's another part of the chorus there. God wants to see certain things in my life. Hallelujah. And he's in the process of making that come to pass. Colossians chapter 2. Yeah, this is not going to work. Okay. Verse number 8 is where we left off last time. The apostle says, watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. We spoke at length about the need to be careful of diluting the word of God. The Bible says in the book of Romans that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God. Someone say power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is a powerful thing. The truth of God is a powerful thing. Truth in general is a powerful thing. It will set you free, and when you're free, you're free indeed. People are tied up and bound up because of lies. And we tend to take lies, and we try to mix it with the truth of the gospel, and what we end up is with a less or least effective form of religion. You can't take truth of Jesus Christ, mix it with the lies or philosophies of the world, and expect it to be as powerful as when you started. There are certain religions, and I will not mention them. They call themselves Christian. I wouldn't, but they do. Who go into different societies, and the first thing they do is begin to absorb the traditions of the local people. It's not uncommon to go to one of these churches and say Haiti and find voodoo alongside of Christianity, all kind of mixed in together. Well, here's the problem. Anybody here ever paint a house? You know that you can only water down the paint just so much. Amen? You know, I don't want to spend all that money on paint, so I'll make it 50-50. 50% water, 50% paint. Not going to work. It won't cover the subject. It won't do the job. We end up doing the same thing with our Christianity. We need certain things covered. We need certain things done. We need certain things fixed. But we mix it with the philosophies of the world around us, and then we say, well, Christianity doesn't work. I beg to differ. Watch out, the apostle says, for people who try to dazzle you. What a word. Ooh, ain't I something? Listen to me, I'm smart. I can tell you how to do this and how to do this. Don't listen to that. Big words and intellectual double talk. Now, I'm not going to mention any names, but y'all can think of a few people as I'm reading this. They have TV shows. They have call-in shows. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's not the way of Christ. Let me tell you something here about lies. You can spread lies like margarine. And you can just spread it all around, and all you're going to end up with is more lies. Lies will not fix your problem. Lies may have got you into the problem. Amen? We got to have some truth. Everything of God gets expressed in him and who? Jesus. So you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope. Don't you love those scopes? In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this thing. Okay, I got the master already over here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. The Word of God says that when you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. His power extends over everything. We're getting closer here. To mix truth with a lie, you get a faulty gospel. Amen? We sometimes buy into a lie. The one I want to pick on today is that we need something besides Jesus. You know, if all I had to judge Jesus by was his church, I might feel the same way. I just got to say that. You know, some forms of religion, some forms of this, it just leaves us an emptiness. It's just a form. It's just a, you know, the Word of God warns us to be careful of the people who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Amen. 30-some-odd years ago, some of y'all know this already, but 30-some-odd years ago, I went looking for God. Had a hard time finding him. First place I went was the church. He wasn't home. Not the one I chose. And I'm not picking on a specific church. I went to a church that I grew up around. And all I found was a bunch of hypocrites like myself. I love when people say, I can't go to church. It's full of hypocrites. It's okay. We got room for one more. Come on in. It's all right. Hallelujah. Can I define hypocrite for you? Hypocrite's a person who's pretending to try to fool somebody. What a hypocrite is not is a person who's trying to live better and falling and failing and getting up again. So I see a lot of folks in the church who are trying. I'm not quite making it, falling down, but they're getting up again saying, I'm not perfect, dusting myself off, Jesus, please have mercy. That's not a hypocrite. That's not a hypocrite. I've also come to a conclusion recently. That really what a person who says that, I can't go to church, that's just a lie that sinners tell so they don't have to deal with their own hypocrisy. Anyway, I hope some sinners heard that someplace. Hallelujah. The messes we find ourselves in are quite complicated. The messes we find ourselves in need help. They need something more than we can do or we would have fixed them by now. Does that make any sense? We need the full power of God brought to bear. I went looking for God, and I couldn't find him. And I began to search around. I began to ask some questions. Didn't get any really good answers. I actually had someone tell me, I think this person's dead by now because they were quite old at the time, so hopefully I'm not talking about them and they're hearing me. If they are hearing me, I hope they've learned better. I remember going to a person, he was a clergyman, and I asked him if he could pray for a loved one of mine who was dying. Yeah, I was just foolish enough, sister and brother, I was just foolish enough to read the Bible and believe it. I said, Jesus prayed for people, Jesus cleansed the leper, Jesus rose the dead. And I remember I went to him with a Bible in hand, open to the page. And I pointed and says, I've been reading this week. Can we do this for my loved one? You know what the man told me? God love him. Is all, God don't do that anymore. Based on that faulty information, that's why you got to be careful what you mix with Christianity. Based on faulty information, I made a decision that God wasn't worth my time. If God had no power, if God couldn't do, if God had retired, I needed to find somebody else. Now, you say, that's a terrible thing. No, that's what happens when you take a philosophy and add it to the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ still heals. He still saves. He still delivers. But they added to it a lie that ended with the New Testament, writing the New Testament. No way. Hallelujah. Aren't you really glad it didn't end with the New Testament when God healed your body? Your wife's cancer, aren't you really glad it didn't end with writing the New Testament when God took that cancer from her body? Anyone who's ever been healed, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God has fixed your families? Aren't you glad that God has given you a sound mind? Aren't you glad that God is doing things today? He hasn't retired. Hallelujah. I do not need, and I don't mean to sound arrogant, forgive me if I do, I don't need a watered-down version of Christianity to make myself feel better about my falsehoods and shortcomings and sins. Hallelujah. Oh, well, you know, God doesn't expect that of you. Excuse me. God doesn't expect holiness? God doesn't expect change? Now, some people look at that, Dave, and say, well, isn't that legalism? No, I'm going to deal with legalism next week. That's the next verses 16 on down. Hallelujah. Legalism is a set of laws that says if you don't follow the rules, you're going to hell. To tell somebody now that you're a Christian, there's certain things you need to do, is Christianity. But if you mix the world's thinking with the Bible, you'll come up with something like this. Be ye therefore holy. Well, that's for another time. Come out from amongst them. Well, you know you really can't do that. After all, you've got to live with the world. I live in the world, but I'm not of the world. Come on, people. Now, I can make statements like that, and you say, well, yeah, that's easy for you to say. No, it's hard to do. I get that. But I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Not the watered-down Jesus, not the chrome-plated, custom-made, whatever you want to make him Jesus, but the Jesus of this Holy Bible, the Jesus that says it is finished, the Jesus that looked the devil in the face and says you can't have George and his family, the Jesus that looked around and said I'm going to fix what's broken, I'm going to take that thing that's void and without form, and I'm going to put order to it. That's the Jesus that you and I need. Hallelujah to God. Glory unto God. Someone asked me recently how I got over my addictions. I'm going to tell you real simple how I got over my addictions. Had nothing to do with me. I still remember to this day my wife was there. She wasn't my wife then. She is now. Hallelujah. And I remember walking up there, and the last thing I was going to give up that day was drugs. The last thing. Now, all you folks who take drugs or used to take drugs, excuse me, a little slip there, you know where I'm about to go with this. The only thing I had left in the world that was working for me was my addiction. Amen. I had no intention of giving it up. When I gave my heart to Jesus, something happened that day. Jesus did something inside of me. And the very things that were causing me to reach out and to need drugs began to get healed. And all of a sudden, I didn't need my addiction any longer. Now you say, well, that was a good thing for then. Yeah, but that was 35 years ago. Hallelujah. Has God been healing me for 35 years? Yes. Has God, now let me tell you why I'm telling that story. I know another form of religion that says, well, you know, you really can't get set free from addiction. I mean, I'm addicted too. I heard a man preach that. I heard a man, I won't say what religion came from, but I heard a man in a collar preach that one time. He says, Did I slip? Now, wait a minute. All you judgmental Pentecostals, you wait a minute. I have two shirts with collars. I showed up. You wear them one time, didn't I? Shocked you? Hallelujah. But I heard a man preach. Now, we had just had a service in an institution, and we had people come up, and we laid hands on them, and people saved, healed, and delivered in that institution. The man who was next in line stood in the back of the room shaking his head. Should have taken control over that too, but we didn't. But came up there, and as we were going out the door, I heard him say, what you just seen was false and phony, because you can't be set free from addiction, because I'm just addicted myself. That's what happens when you mix philosophy of the world with the philosophy, the lifestyle, the truth of Jesus Christ. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. When you come to him, I'm going to go back to King James. I like it better. Hallelujah. For in him, verse 9, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the power, all the healing, all the glory is in Jesus Christ. And verse 10 goes on, and this is my point I want to make today, says, and you are... Didn't say you will be, should be, or could be. You are, right here, A-R-E. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him. All you need today. You say, that's way too simple. It's truth. You want to complicate it? Mix philosophy with it. You want to complicate it? Add someone else's ideas. You want to keep it simple? Read the Bible. You are complete in him. Everything we need. Young people, old people, everyone in between. All we need is in Christ. Someone say hallelujah. Now listen, I'm not asking you to sit on top of a mountain like a monk. I'm not asking you to do all that, you know, give up everything, walk around shaking a tambourine. I'm not talking about that stuff. That's just will worship. Again, we'll get there next week. I'm talking about in the midst of where you are, finding the power, the glory, the comfort of God to get through and to overcome the situation you're in. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many here is in a situation? From one moment to another, we're always in some kind of situation. Many times the situation is greater than we are. Amen? How many has got complete control of all their situations? Thank God I don't have to rebuke a lying spirit. Amen. We get ourselves in situations, because that's the way life is, that overwhelm us, overtake us. I don't know what to do. Why do you think people like me turn to drugs? You think I didn't enjoy the other part of life. That's why I did the drug thing, to try to enjoy life. Hallelujah. We have situations. You have situations. We all have situations here. Overwhelming, but in Christ, the application of the unwatered down version of the gospel, I will guarantee you today you'll get through it. Amen. Not many religions can make that kind of guarantee. I will guarantee you will get through it. Without worldly philosophy, without thinking like the unsaved, without worrying about psychologies and psychiatries and all kinds of weird stuff. I got to be careful how I say that, because I am a psychologist, but I'm not a weird one. Well, I guess that depends who you ask, right? I'm probably weird amongst my peers, because I don't believe in half the stuff they do. I happen to believe if you speak truth to somebody, they'll be set free. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. We need that unadulterated, watered down, undiluted version of truth to set us free. Let me read on. Hallelujah. And you are complete in him, the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Now, I'm not going to get into this whole thing. If all you young people don't know what circumcision is, talk to dad when you go home. Girls, talk to your mom. You're welcome. I love doing that to parents. You don't think I'm going to stand up here and talk about that, do you? Circumcision has to do with cutting away of flesh. I'll just leave it at that. Amen. But it talks about, y'all clean it up now in Jesus' name. But when it talks about a circumcision not made with hands, it talks about a cutting away of flesh, a removing of the veil from our heart, removing of the carnal nature. Hallelujah. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. I want to stop there for a second. Now, I know there's some folks here dealing with death and intimate death. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but I got to tell you something right now. According to the scriptures, if we're born again, if we are Christians, we have been buried with Jesus. Are you out there? We are buried. The old nature, what I used to be, what I used to do, is buried in Christ. But I got better news because the scripture doesn't stop there. But you're risen with him through faith. God looks at us and says, you know, Jeff, certain things have got to stop in your life. His list with me was probably longer. George, some things you just, that's got to die. We don't like death. Do you understand there's a certain upside down backwards principle to Christianity? That before there's life, there's got to be death. You understand that, Brother Bob? You figured that out, right? See, we all do everything we can to hang on to life. Young people, you listen to me. All you old people, you're losing your grip on it already. Young people trying to get a hold of it. I got to hang on to life. Let go of it. When it dies and falls into the ground, just like the grain of wheat, it will bring forth fruit. Amen. Before we can have our own way, sister, y'all know this, don't you? You're a praying woman. Before you can have your own way's got to be given up. Then don't be surprised if you wake up some morning and everything you wanted is there. You let it die first. You let it die first. Because it doesn't stay buried. You're risen with him through faith of the operation of God. Now let me say something here. Go back to where I was. Without death, without resurrection, without the power of God, these things are not possible. Not possible. There are ways that are easier, but none are as powerful as the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are ways that will teach you you can have sin and Jesus. There are ways that will teach you really don't have to change. What you will do is stay dead. Verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins. Let me stop for a second here. I'm not talking about physical death. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I know families are dealing with this. But the Bible says, because of sin, you're dead. You're dead. If you're sitting here today and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not been forgiven for your sins, if you've not repented and said, God, I give up, y'all need to take over, then you're dead. And no matter how much you try to live, no matter how much fun you try to have, no matter how much good times you're looking for, you're dead. You're dead. Hallelujah. But being dead in sins of your flesh, he has made alive with him, having forgiven you all, someone say all, your trespasses. I'm going to ask you a very simple question. I'm believing it or not, I'm winding down already. Hallelujah. Can the philosophies of men forgive your sins and give you life? Now, if you think they can, have at it. You really think that all that positive thinking stuff, you really think that all that just name it, claim it stuff, you think of all that stuff out there, do it now while you're still young enough to have fun and enjoy it. Do you really think that'll bring back the life that you're really looking for. Hallelujah. Fullness, joy, fulfillment. Do you really think it'll do that? Let me challenge you. You haven't started to live until you first died. Death means giving my life over to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Is it always fun? Well, let's just say I don't always like what's going on. But I sure like the end result. Amen? I'm going to go a little further than I planned because the next part just excites me. This has just been good stuff. It gets better. I'm in verse number 14 of chapter 2 of Colossians. I was going to save this for next week, but I can't help it. Glory. He forgave you of sins, verse 13. Now listen to this. You're going to like this, brother. Don't answer from experience, but anyone here know what a rap sheet is? It has nothing to do with music, by the way. Matter of fact, that rap doesn't either. But there's a man who's law enforcement. You know what a rap sheet is? A rap sheet is the list of what you've done wrong. It's the laws you have broken, okay? This is what Jesus did for us, Sister Sharon. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us. Now, I'm going to stop. There's a comma there. I'm going to rest for a moment. Every single one of us, because of the choices we have made, have a rap sheet before God. All the sins that we've ever committed, all the wrong doing, the wrong thinking, the wrong acting, the wrong attitude is all written down. That should scare the you-know-what out of you. Amen? That is the handwriting of ordinance against us. There was a time in the library of heaven, Brother Dave, where under the title George Oriani Jr., my daddy had his own, I'm a junior, there was a title and the list went on and on and on. Everything I had done, every lie I had told, everything I'd ever stolen, every look, every attitude, it was all written down. Now, you may be feeling really good about my list. There was one there for you too. Amen? But the Bible says that Jesus, turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus did this. He blotted out the handwriting that was against us and contrary to us. If I stood before an eternal judge, which I would and will, but at that point, and he opened up my rap sheet, he'd look at me, and there's no jury here. No fancy lawyers to get me off. He said, George, you did this and this and this and that. I think judgment is going to take some time, brother. Just reading those lists. It was against me. It was contrary against every one of us. Keep in mind, philosophy can't do what I'm talking about. He blotted out. He took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. You will stay there. He took the handwriting of ordinance against me, my rap sheet. He put it on the cross. And not only did he put it to the cross, I get more excited with this. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he took away my sins. He destroyed, he beat, he spoiled the devil. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let me give you some history. You won't see this on the History Channel, but I'll give it to you tonight, today. In the Roman days when this was written, when a general came into an area and overpowered his enemy, when he overtook the area, he got his chariot, was called forth. He took the general or the king that he had just overtaken. He tied him to the back of the chariot and began to take that chariot and drive around the walls of the city. Can I get an amen? She won't do it on cue. She said, what was that? Anybody ever seen the movie Troy? Amen. When when the guy takes the I can't think of the names, isn't that terrible? He took the son's body and tied it to the back of the chariot and began to race around the walls. That's what Jesus did to the devil for you. Oh, hallelujah. We have got to see today the victory that Jesus Christ has won for us. He took the devil who was standing next to you and said, well, you know that Dolores, she's this, she's that, she's that. And God basically said, shut up, devil. Tied him to the back of the chariot and ran him around for the world to see. Hallelujah. People who think the devil is cool is wrong. He's defeated. He's been made to look foolish. He's been drug around by the Lord. So everyone will know that your enemy was defeated. Oh, hallelujah. Now let me ask you a question. Can your self-help philosophy do that for you? Then why do you want to add it to Christianity? Can your I can do it all by myself attitude do this for you? Then why do you want to add it to your Christianity? Can all of that stuff you see on TV and all, can that take the devil and drag him around in public and humiliate him for you? Then why are we trying to add that to Christianity? There has to be a rejection. The Christian church has got to reject all that's not Jesus. Are you out there? I want to challenge you today to rethink a lot of things that you've been basing on worldly philosophy. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you a story, another story of mine. Some of you have heard this several times, but when I was just a boy Christian, just a baby Christian, just barely saved, I didn't know much, didn't know anything. All I know is that Jesus loves me. This I know because the Bible told me so. All I know is I was like a little child. I'd been born again. I didn't understand that, but I felt different. My life was being changed. But I hadn't had the power of God straighten out some of my thinking yet. And I remember someone asked me about abortion. Now, I'm not going to say a lot about this. Simply say that at that point in my life, sis, that's 30-some-odd years ago, I simply had not rethought it. I hadn't rethunk it yet. In light of Christianity, you got to take some of the things you believe in and line them up to the Bible and say, do I still believe them? And I didn't say it was wrong. I didn't think it was right. I don't like labels and titles. I guess I was choice. I don't know. All I knew is I didn't really have a stand on it. And that shocked a lot of Christians, Brother Dave. And I went home saying, gee, maybe I should have a stand on it. Well, all I knew was what I had been taught until one day someone sent me a tract. It wasn't just a person. It was sent by the Faith Tract and Prayer League or something like that. It was a whole, you used to get them things they used to send them about that thick. And I'm going through them. Here was one. It was called Born Again. I figured what it's got to be with. I opened it up and it had to do with an unborn child. And it was written as if an unborn child had written the tract. And it was written like, so, oh, today I came into existence. God has formed me in the form of my mother's. Won't she be so happy when she realizes I'm here? And then it went on a few more days, and my little fingers are doing that, and all these different things. And it went on for about a month and a half in time. And so today, Mommy found out I am here. The next thing was, today, Mommy killed me. Now, if you have that experience in your life, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to tell you there's forgiveness, there's healing, there's deliverance. But that day, I changed my philosophy. See, when you begin to look at truth, you got to look at what you believe. When you begin to look at truth, the biblical truth, you've got to challenge some of the things you hold to be true. Hallelujah. I remember Glenn Brown saying one time, it had to do with Christianity, but we can use the same places. Some of the things I used to be willing to fight and die for, I don't even believe them anymore. I'll challenge you to hear that all this whole thing is to challenge you is that there's some things in the church. You know the church is not the building, right? There are some things in the church, us, that need to be rethunk. We need to take some of the stuff and say, where did I get that from? Where did that come from? When I first started preaching, we my wife knows Sister Sue. No one here knows. Well, you do. But she's a little bitty girl like this, woman, Bible teacher. And I used to love her and hate her at the same time, Brother Dave. Because I was young, they were just teaching me how to preach. And every time I come down off the, we had a platform. I come off the platform, there stood Sue. She had a pencil and paper in her hand. And if I went off this side, she'd move. What she was writing down that pencil and paper is all my mistakes. But here's what Sue taught me. Where'd you get it from? Why are you saying that? And I learned that I had to go back and take many of my philosophies of life, my ways of living, and say, what's the Word of God say? What's God say about abortion? What's God say about drunkenness? What's God say about sex before marriage? What's God say about fill in the blanks? I hear people, well, there's nothing wrong with sex before marriage. Read this, then come back and tell me what you think. Are you out there? But it feels so good. I didn't say that. I didn't say it didn't. I'm saying, look at this. I'm saying, does did you ever read the book of Jonah? Jonah and the whale. Did you ever know that God gives a second chance, brother? And a third and a fourth and a fifth. Brother Dave, I learned it the hard way. If I say no to God, he's liable to send a big fish after me. And I would have been better off saying yes than ended up in the belly of that thing for so long. Sometimes the circumstances we're in are there because we said no to something. Anyway, whatever it is you find yourself in, God can fix it. Whatever it is you have come from and done before this day, God can fix it. Hallelujah. In closing, I got so much here I don't want to close, but I'm going to, because the rest talks about legalism, and I want to talk about that separately. What I'm telling you here is not legalism. To tell you to live according to the Word of God is not legalism. That's the job that God is doing in our lives every day. That's the work of God. I don't like the fires he chooses, Brother Tom. I do not like the fiery furnace. I do not like trials and tribulations. But when I read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I take great hope, great faith. And I realize when they got them out of the fire, the only thing missing was the thing that had them bound. I will guarantee today, because I know my God has not changed, he's no respecter of persons, that when he takes me out of the fiery furnace that I'm in right now, I will not smell of smoke. My hair will not be singed, but the thing that's got me bound will be gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. God will take whatever you are, recycle it. There's a green word for you. God will recycle you. Turn you into something he wants you to be. Hallelujah. The song I quoted earlier, one of the parts of the chorus at the very end said, make me into the man you want me to be. Hallelujah. Then another part says, make me the man you want to see. God wants to see some things in our lives. You're not going to have it with a mixture of philosophies and thinking. I don't care if you were brought up by a generation that believes in postmodernic thinking. If you don't know what that is, go home and Google it. Go home and figure out what postmodernic thinking is, and then delete it from your thinking. Okay? When you get done, you delete on the computer, delete it from up here. Postmodernic thinking is not godly. Hallelujah. There are absolutes. There are rights and there are wrongs. God has given us the power to live this way. Oh, hallelujah. I got another story I think I'll need to tell. Wherever you are in God, I got plenty of time to tell it. Wherever you are in God, whatever you've done, whatever you're guilty of, God can fix it. God can fix it. My wife and I, we got together under strange terms. I met her in a bar. Y'all can fill in the blanks. My granddaughter just went, huh? You didn't know that about Grandpa, did you? I met your grandmother in a bar. Hallelujah. We weren't there for the fellowship, so to speak. Anyway, we shacked up. That's my generation to say we cohabitated. We lived together. And the day I got born again, my granddaughter's still looking. Did she know all this about me? She didn't know? Oh, she could go home on the internet and play this over and over and over again. There's a moral to this. The day I became a Christian, the man who led me to Christ walked out, put his arm around me. How dare he? Didn't know me. Put his arm around me, walked in my car. Said, let me ask you a question, boy. First, he said, congratulations, enter the kingdom of God. He says, tell me something, boy. He said, you're not married to that woman, are you? Now, he all been really glad at that point that I got born again and totally changed, because about that time, I would have taken his head off of my elbow. Bam! How dare you? But I didn't. Because of Christ had just entered my life, I looked at him and said, what am I supposed to do about this? And he gave me godly counsel. And my wife and I began to work on things so we could do things biblically. The day we got married, see, God spoke through the prophet, said, I will give you a brand new bride. Hallelujah. Who knows what that means? Who knows what prophets are talking about half the time? I got called to the assistant pastor's house, told to wear a suit. Now, going to the assistant pastor's house was nothing but a suit. So I showed up with a suit. I knew we were going to get married. I knew that. And I'm standing there, and I'm waiting. You know, y'all men have stood at the altar. You know what I'm talking about. You know, where are they? The makeup. And all. Anyway, I turned around, and there stood my lovely bride, all dressed in white. Someone had loaned her a wedding gown. And God brought us together as a husband and wife, as if we'd never known one another. Hallelujah. God took a couple of old drug addicts, a couple of old perverts, a couple of old sexually active people, and said, you know what? You may have been rejected from the world, but because of my blood, because of my power, I'm making you brand new. And we've been happily married for, my wife will have to tell you, I've lost track. Only because we lived together for, it was 33 years we've been married? 33 years. Amen. We've been together 35. You figure out the other two. Hallelujah. But God took us from years of hurt and abuses and all kinds of things, made us brand new, gave us one another. We've had 7 wonderful children, 17 grandchildren. Found out we've got our 4th great-grandchildren child on the way. Hallelujah. And I'm just barely over 60. I said barely and meant it. Woo, hallelujah. God has done a great thing in our lives. Philosophy couldn't do it. Amen. All them crazy books I read couldn't do it. All them people that said they knew all the answers couldn't do it. I read about all the Maharishis. I read about all the gurus. I did all of that. But what Jesus Christ has done for me with his power is unmistakable, irrevocable, and full of glory. Now, if your philosophy, the philosophy of the world out there, the philosophy of the schools, I spend time in schools, I know what you're being taught. The philosophy that you're hearing every day, if that can do that for you, if it can totally save you, wash you, cleanse you, and give you a whole new life, have at it. If not, I'm going to ask you to reject all that the world has and grab a hold of Jesus and say, lead me and guide me. Can we bow our heads for a moment? Hallelujah. Brother Jeff, could you play one of those old hymns you were playing when I came in this morning? Hallelujah. Let's do something religious. Hallelujah. God is not philosophy. Jesus is not religion. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God to change whatever you're into, whatever is going wrong, wherever you find yourself. Did it happen overnight? No. It started 33, 34 years ago. It's been going on every day for 30 plus years. But I have a confidence, Brother Bob, because God hasn't given up on me in 34 years, he won't give up for another 34. Y'all do the math. By the time I get there, I'll be upstairs looking down at you. Hallelujah. If God can change a rascal like me, For all you young guys out there, let me tell you something. I got to say this to you. Y'all think you're bad? It was my generation that burnt down Kent State University. It was my generation that ran Richard Nixon out of the White House. It was my generation that stood outside the White House yelling, "Hell no, we won't go." That was us. Your moms and your dads. That's us. Every generation has got sins to deal with. Every generation has got problems to face. I will say, at the age of 61, as I look at the world today, I am ever so glad I do not have to face it without Jesus Christ. They're talking about the 2012 election already. I don't care who wins. I'm glad that Jesus is still in control. He ain't no Democrat, no Republican. He's not even a teabagger. He's Jesus. God said, "I lift up the kings and I put down the kings. I hold them in the palm of my hand." All that you face politically, economically, relationally, whatever it is you face, Jesus is your answer. I've talked to young people who are afraid of nuclear annihilation. That was my generation too. I remember hiding under my desk in school. I don't know what that was supposed to do. It said make it easier to identify the bodies when it was all over. George sat there. That Krispy Kreme. That's him. I know what atomic weapons do. A school desk is no help. I only say that to say I grew up with that fear. I grew up watching the terror in my father's eyes when Nikita Khrushchev sent the missiles to Cuba. And I watched my mother cry when John F. Kennedy says no more. Our generation had it. We made it. Your generation's got your hands full. With Christ, you'll make it. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Hallelujah. Hope you'll forgive the ramblings and the reminiscences of an old preacher. But I got a lot to reminisce about. And I got to tell you the truth, it does me no good. It does me a lot of harm and causes me to be very angry when I see what's passing for Christianity today. Am I perfect? Oh, no. I'm guilty of many things in life, but not that lie. I struggle. I think thoughts I'm afraid to tell you about. I have feelings I'm ashamed of. But I know that He who started a good work in me will finish it. If I remain true to this word, if I hang on to the truth, I don't water it down with vain philosophies of this world. If I reject worldly advice and adhere to godly advice, if I let this holy book lead and guide me, I know I'll make it. I judge my God faithful today. I can say that based on 34 years of experience. God has never failed me. There were times I didn't know where the next meal was coming from, brother, and someone came to my door and fed me. There were times I didn't know how to pay the rent, but somehow it got paid. Oh, I admit, I've driven cars that no one wanted, lived in houses that probably were unfit, but God always took care of us because I took whatever He gave me and I was thankful for it. And little by little, God decided I could be trusted with something, so He said, "Let me give you a little bit more. Let me bless you here. You've passed." I do know this one thing. Based on what I've just said today and based on this work, this word, the day will come, Brother Bob, sooner for me than many of you, will I will stand before God. There was a time that thought would scare the daylights out of me. But now I look forward to it. The Bible says that he'll wipe the tears from my eyes, and I think those tears would be just based on the things I could have done but didn't. And I will hear him say, the words have kept me going for 30 plus years. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into that which had been prepared by you, for you by my Father. I want to give you an offer today. I'm going to give you an offer to reject worldly philosophy. I'm going to make an offer for you to reject what's being sold on the marketplace of religion. And I'm going to give you a chance to accept the Word of God and its author. And the promise, I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. I know one who will stick closer to you than a brother. There's one here who won't give up. Wherever you've been from, wherever you're coming out of, I'm here to tell you right now, God's word never lies. Some of you are sitting here today, you heard this word as a child. That's why you're here today. I had a pretty bad religious experience when I was a kid, but here's one thing I did do. My parents sent me to church, made me mad. How dare they send me to church? But here's what happened, Brother Tom Lestrange. I learned the story of David and Goliath. I learned about Jesus, the Lamb. I learned all of them Bible stories that you think, may think, could think were so foolish. And when my life fell apart, I remembered there was a Jesus. I didn't know him. I wouldn't have known if I tripped over him in a waste market. But I knew about him. And I came looking. And just like the prodigal son, my daddy God seen me a long ways off. And he says, I'm going to go out and meet the boy. He didn't even wait for me to come home. He didn't wait for me to come home, Jamie. He just seen me coming. Said he left his guests and came looking for the prodigal. Said he's coming back. I got to go meet the boy, the girl. Hallelujah. I want to make an offer today. If you're one of those prodigals, you heard about this. I love you. God loves you more. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, I'm here to tell you God wants you home. God wants you home today. Come as you are. Don't go home and get it all fixed up and changed. No. God will take care of that. All this changing I'm talking about, that'll happen. That'll happen as long as we embrace it. Today, we have to embrace the change giver. Maybe you're sitting here and you've never done this. You've had religion, but you've never, ever made it personal before. You sat in a church and they sang in English or in Latin or Spanish or whatever, and they just made no sense to you. I want to make it personal today. You can be born again. You can have a new life. My daddy's generation, he said, I wish I could live my life over again. That's what you can do. Hallelujah. I want you to think of this over for a moment. Music playing quietly. It's got nothing to do with your child. It's got nothing to do with your daddy. It's got nothing to do with the person sitting next to you. It's all about you right now. God designed this moment for you. If you want to come back, you want to recommence. You know what? I don't know what I was thinking, but I want to come back home. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you to come back to Jesus. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to stand. But you're sitting there, and you've never made that kind of commitment before. Oh, you've had religion. Religion failed you, as it always does. But the whole thought of having God on your side and being able to talk with him and spending time with him, that's just, yeah, I like that idea. I'm talking to you right now. You want what I got? You got to get it from the person I got it from. God, his son Jesus, power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to count to three. No matter what your case may be, You want Jesus. You want to come back to Jesus. You want to recommit to Jesus. I just want you to stand to your feet. We're going to pray for you, and we're going to send you home out of here. You're going to be born again, if necessary. Name written down in glory. Jesus on your side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, you are a wonderful God. You're the greatest daddy in the world. You gave your son that we may have life. You have forgiven and are willing to forget everything we've ever done wrong because you love us so much. You're willing to share with us the power, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, the same power who triumphed over the devil and drug him around the city for the world to see, the same power that took the handwriting of ordinances against us and threw it away, nailing it to the cross, is available today, and you want to give it. If you're one of them folks, if you're like me, I looked at the preacher 30-some-odd years ago. I didn't believe him. I wanted to. I remember telling him, if what you're saying is the truth, I want it. I tried it. It's true. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. In Jesus' name, stand. You want to commit. You want to recommit. You want to be born again. You want a fresh, fresh filling of God. Hallelujah. I see some people recommitting. I see people I've never seen stand before. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Welcome home. In Jesus' name. Receive the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, receive the finished work of Calvary. The one who spread his arms on Calvary and said it's finished was for you. The Bible says if we'll receive that, he will take all of our sins, our failures, our weaknesses, our sins. He said he'll throw them as far as east is from west. Another place, Brother Bob says, I will throw them in the sea called forgetfulness. Gone. Gone. If you could go back to God right this second and say, God, remember why I stood up? He'd say, no. Why? Because he said, I will not only forgive, I will forget. Only God forgets your sins. Your mom and daddy won't. Your boyfriend and girlfriend won't. Your teachers won't. God does. God forgets it. And from this day forward, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. This day, you've tapped into the power and the glory to live your life differently. The mistakes are gone. It doesn't matter who reminds you of it. If someone comes up to you tomorrow and says, you remember what you did? Say, God forgot it. They may think you're crazy. I know you're saved. Hallelujah. What about them people? Don't worry about them people. God will get them. God will take care of them. Hallelujah. Just raise your hands just for a moment. I know this for some folks this is new, the hand raising thing. But you know, it's just like a little child when they run the house. Say, oh, Daddy. I still remember my oldest girl sitting right there. She still calls me Daddy, but I remember she was a little girl. She'd run and rear hands raised, both hands, and say, Daddy. That's what we're doing. Oh, Dad. Father, thank you. Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for the move of them. Lord, I pray right now as they recommit to you, as they give themselves to you, I pray, Lord God, forgive their sins. Forgive their weaknesses. Forgive their mistakes. In Jesus' name, by the blood of the Lamb, be cleansed. By the blood of the Lamb, be cleansed. By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb, you're clean. You're clean. Breathe it in, you're clean. In Jesus' name, you're clean. It's gone. It's gone. Not to be remembered. You're clean. Sweetheart, you're clean. You're clean. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, you girls are clean. No matter what they say, the preacher said, you may have done the things they say you have done, but you're not what they say you are. You're clean. You're clean. Clean in Jesus' name. You're clean. You're clean in Jesus' name. Be forgiven. Not because I said it, but the Word of God does. You're clean. You're clean. You're clean. Fresh commitment. You're clean in Jesus' name. You're clean. You're clean. You're clean. You're clean. In Jesus' name. You're clean. You're clean. No matter what you've done or people have done to you, you are clean. You're washed. You're washed. You're washed. Holy Ghost. Shatarabako. In the name of Jesus, I pray for a fresh baptism in the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, from the top of this girl's head to the bottom of her feet, Lord, fill her. Fill her with the power, hallelujah, of the Holy Ghost. Lord, the same power that was released in the book of Acts, the same power that filled the disciples in the upper room, the same power that rose Christ from the dead, the same power that turned the world upside down. Oh, caught up on Jesus. Jesus. Power. 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 Suck it in. Drag it. Just drink it in. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Fresh power. Fresh anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are not a doormat. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost of God. Holy Ghost of God. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Be cleansed. Be washed. Be washed. Shararabokotaryarama. Kotarama. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. My, 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 my. Holy Ghost of God. Fill her. Fill her. Fill her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.